This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Baruch Mabayim. We're interrupting our regular scheduled Shoyna Halacha Shir. We're up to Siman Daled, but since we just came back from Morocco and we visited many Gedolim, so we want to give them their due attention. By Shal Shudas, yesterday we spoke about a number of the tzaddikim we visited. Today that we're going to speak about a tzaddik, Rabbi Vidal HaTzarfasi. We want to thank our eminent guests, Rabbi Tzvi Marmerstein, on the Chasheva Magide Shir, and Rabbanim in Edgeway, and Rabbi Josh Morheim, one of my best friends, and one of the governors of the Machai International Board, and one of my dearest friends, who's dedicating today's breakfast in honor of the historic trip to the United States with Reb Nicholas Smar. And, you know, Avram Avinu was very honored to have three angels, but they were only malachim, but I have three tzaddikim. That's much, much greater, and I'm much more honored. And I hope they come, I hope this will be the address whenever they come to America. It's really a great kavod to have them. We're going to speak today about Rav Vidal HaTzarfasi. Rav Vidal HaTzarfasi. This is very amazing. The Chidah writes in his entry to Rav Vidal HaTzarfasi, it's not on your sheets, Echad mi ga'oinei hamarav, one of the great ga'oinim of the West, hakadmoinim. He's a kadmoin. Kadmoin means he's a little bit after the Rishonim. The harav karban aroin hoyim beistina. The karban aroin was on the bezin Rav Vidal HaTzarfasi. The Chidah does not mention why he's called HaTzarfasi. What does Tzarfas mean? France. Because he was a direct descendant of Rabbeinu Tam, 12th generation from Rabbeinu Tam. So France means, what's France? France means the house of Rashi, the house of Rabbeinu Tam. So it's 12th generation from Rabbeinu Tam. He wrote Hasagos on Rabbi Yom Mizrahi. He wrote a sefer at Suf Devash, which we have in front of you. He was the Av Bezin of the city of Fez. By the way, the cemetery in Fez, one of the most beautiful cemeteries. By Shal Shudas, yesterday we spoke about the cemetery in Marrakesh. Cemetery in Fez is really a great place. I don't think great place to die. I don't know. Great place to be buried. And the Chidah writes, that his works are mamish bekitzer nimratz. In other words, he says like this. First of all, he says v'yesh lo yachas ad rabinu tam ben bitoy shel Rashi, and that his works are bekitzer nimratz ma'od, and you have to exert yourself to be able to understand the precise words of Rav Vidal HaTzarfasi. Now, very interesting. I'll tell you something that he says in Parshas Vayechi, and then something he writes on this week's Parsha, but not here on Sefer Shemois, but rather in a manuscript on Sefer Rus. And then we'll talk about his Devei Torah on Sefer Shemois. On the Pasuk, Heyosfu va'agid alochem, es asher yikra eschem ba'acharis hayomim. We usually translate that to mean, gather, and I'll tell you, es asher yikra eschem, what will happen to you. What will happen to you? But Rav Vidal says it doesn't say Yikra with a hey at the end. It doesn't say Asher Yikra Eschem Yud Kuf Resh Hey. It says Yikra Yud Kuf Resh Aleph. So Yikra doesn't mean happen. It means call out. Meaning whatever happens to a Jew, it doesn't happen to them. It's preordained, proclaimed, min hashamayim, designated. It's a very important emphasis. It's sort of a mistranslation to say, Yaakov was saying, here, come here, I'm going to let you know what's going to happen to you. Nothing happens. Yikra, it's pre-called out. Hashem calls out before anything happens. There's a baskom min hashamayim that decrees as goyzer min hashamayim, such and such should happen. Okay. So before we hit the Maram Kormes here, I want to ask you a question. This is one of the very important questions on the parsha. So Miriam and Yocheved do not succumb to the pressure of Paroi. V'atachayenas hayaladim. We'll see, Rav Vidal has a very interesting pshat, what that means, v'atachayenas hayaladim. But literally, they kept the kids alive. So the pasuk says, v'ayas Lahem Batim, Hashem made houses from Miriam, the house of Leviah, from Yocheved, the house of Leviah, from Miriam, the house of Malchus. Kings came from Miriam. What kings came from Miriam? Malchus based David. How did kings come from Miriam? Miriam is Bas Levi. The answer is Miriam married Kalev ben Yefuneh. Kalev ben Yefuneh is from Mishpachas Yehuda. So all the Malachim came from Yefuneh, Kalev. That's what Rashi says. The problem is, if you look in Sefer Rus, and you look at the royal dynasty, Oyved, Yishai Hoyled es, Oyved Hoyled es, Oyved Hoyled es, Yishai Hoyled es, David, and we have the whole family, and you have somebody by the name Kalev. Is Kalev in that line? Kalev's not mentioned there. Kalev is who? Kalev ben Yefuneh. Who's Yefuneh? So if you look in Devarei Hayamim, Yefuneh is Chetzroin. So it's Kalev ben Chetzroin. And in Rus we say, the Chetzroin hoyled es Ram. So Ram was Kalev's brother. So Kalev was not in the line of Malchus Beis David. His brother Ram was in the line, but Kalev was not in the line. So what does Rashi mean that in the merit that Miriam did not exterminate the Jewish children, she was zoicha to have the Malchus Beis David? Malchus Beis David came from a different guy, wrong guy, wrong man. It's a plia atzuma. I believe the Marsha in Soita asked this question. There is no great answer to this question. Rabbi Reisman writes in his book that he found in a manuscript of Rav Vidal HaTzarfasi that Rav Vidal says you have to say Ram and Kalev, one of them died and the other one was Miyabim, the wife. So either David came from Kalev or he came from Ram, but because Kalev was Miyabim, Ram's wife, so therefore the child is attributed to him through the Soid HaYibam, but there must have been a Yibam in there. That's a Chiddush, a Ravid al-Sarvaz in Pasha Shemois, but it's not in his Chiddushim on Shemois, but rather it's in his manuscript on Megillas Rus. Okay, I want to share with you a few Divrei Torah from Ravid al on this week's Pasha. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam She'akol Nu Mivarei. Amen. Ve'ela Shemois. If I could have a Chumash, that would be great. Ve'ela Shemais. So we're counting the Bnei Yisrael. How are we counting them? We're not. There's no head count over here. It's not Legul Galoisam. It's the names. So Vidal says the reason why they're counted by names is Shelo Yikanes Ayin Harabahem, so that the evil eye does not enter them. In other words, if we're just going to count, him, then the excessive attention could cause ayin hara, but it seems like if somebody is counted by the name Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, that avoids ayin hara. So instead of counting them, it's mana shemoisam. Al derech b'mispar shemois legugalaisam. Okay, interesting. Here's the next ha'ara. This is a pele atzuma that nobody has an answer to. Okay, you open up Sefer Shemois and you see the names of the Shvatim. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, uBenyamin. How did Binyamin get into the pasuk with Yisachar, Zvulun? Dan, Naphtali, Gad, VaAsher. What kind of order is this? Anybody have any explanation for this? Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Okay, so far so good. But it's definitely not in order now, because after Yehuda, Yisachar wasn't born after Yehuda. Leah stopped having children after Yehuda. Vata'amoid miledes after Yehuda. So she took Zilpah. So Yisachar, Zavulan? No. He wasn't born next. Ubinyamin? Binyamin's the youngest. So this is not Keseder Toldoisam. This is not Keseder of the Degalim. This is not Keseder anything. What in the world is this order? By the way, there's a shita in terms of counting the Jewish months, which month is connected to which Shevet. There is a shita that you go by the pasuk in the beginning of Shemais. Ruvain is Nisan, Shemain is Iyar, in order. But what is the order? This order is what's the order here? Never wonder about that? The order is not considered toldoisam, not in terms of their age, not in terms of chashivos, not in terms of the way they carried the Mishkan. What's this order? Says Rav Vidal HaTzarfasi. I'm not aware that anybody else says this. He says, Mana kan seder lekichasam. This is the order of the children by the way Yaakov married the wives. First Leah, so it counts the Bnei Leah. Then Rachel, because Yaakov married Rachel after. Then he married Bilhah. And then he married Zilpah. What about Yosef? No, but Yosef's not counting. It's counting the Ba'im to Mitzrayim by Seder Lekichasam. Well. Does that... Did you know that? I didn't know that. What's the nafkmina is why the Torah is... No, you're saying...
That does what for the children?
It doesn't do anything. It's just a way of counting. Apparently it has chashivos, according to the shita, we count the months that way. It's a way of organizing. It's a way of counting. What does it do? I don't understand this because it's not accurate. Because first Yaakov married Leah, and then he married Zilpah. Unless it just says Lavan gave Zilpah to Yaakov, but he gave it to her as a cleaning lady. Cleaning ladies are very important. Sometimes they're the second most important person in the household. So, you know, so Yaakov may have gotten Zilpah, but it doesn't mean he married her. Because the pasuk says, "Vayomer Lavan." Okay, "Vayikach es Leah v'Leah." "Vayitin Lavan La es Zilpah shivchasa Leah v'Toy shivcha." But it doesn't mean he married her. It could be not until later. Let's see. "Vatar oid v'tevah v'tamar oid ha'pam oid esetam v'terog v'tamar yah havel livan v'mayin mesam v'echar af Yaakov baracha v'masach zelkim anoichi shemanu mimech privatem v'tamar hinei amasi villa." Ba'eleha. Okay, so what does he say? L'kach shelo yag b'nei mayarim nama. V'hikti b'nei Rachel l'vnei ha'sho she'im ho'yu b'nei ha'gvir v'heim b'nei shvachais.
It was also malah shivu azayis. There wasn't enough time to have married Bilhah in between Rachel and Leah.
So 1 second. First Yaakov married Leah. Then he got Zilpah. Then he married Rachel, yeah? So, Vatera Rachel, Kilo Yodol Yaakov, Vatikani Rachel, Vachos, Vatimel Yaakov, Holy Banim. I'll argue with the Kiryas Chana, otherwise, what do you need me for? What does he says, what's the question? Why is Rachel before Bilhah and Zilpah? That's because he married Rachel before Bilhah and Zilpah. And I'm saying for Madayik in the Lashon of the Tzuf Tvash, of Rav Vidal, Mana kan seder likichasam, the marriage, the taking. So he first married Leah, then he married Rachel. Rachel saw, ki lo yodol Yaakov, atan rabal, vatom yav, halubah, v'mayim, vatom yav, okay, hinei amazim, boi leha, v'selet al birkai, she should be your wife. Vayovo yeleho Yaakov. So maybe... It's not because she's Rachel. Rachel was married before Bilhah, and Bilhah was married before Zilpah. That's not what he says, right? Yeah, I don't think the Kiryas Chana is Reb Vidal. I'm sure he's a great man. No, you hear what I'm saying? In other words, this is Taka in the order of the marriage. Okay, maybe. Fine. Next. Next offering, next page, page Kuf Tezvav. V'Yosef hayu b'Mitzrayim. And Yosef was in Egypt. No kidding. Everybody knows he was in Mitzrayim. What is the pasuk adding? V'Yosef hayu b'Mitzrayim. So Rav Vidal says like this. The brothers didn't change their name. Right? Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar. So you bother by Akasha. So why did Yosef change his name? He's called Safnas Panech. The answer is, because he was in Mitzrayim. He had no choice. That's shot number one. That's Yosef, Shina, Shemayit, Safnas Panech, Zehoya, Hechruch, Shehoya, B'Mitzrayim. In other words, these are the names of Bnei Yisrael. Be impressed that they didn't change their names. Even when they came to Egypt, they were Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Ah, yeah, brother, by Akasha, what's Pshat? And Yosef? Yosef had no choice. He was a Mitzrayim, so he had to change his name. Or, I think the second Pshat is, even though I don't think the Kiryas Chana learns this way, the second Pshat is, Oy, Gam Yosef Haya. And even Yosef, even though he was a Mitzrayim, he was still Yosef. Okay, look in Pasuk, Tes. Vayomer el amo hine. What does the word hine mean? We had two shiurim on the word hine. What does hine mean?
Behold.
Behold, yeah. Let's say, behold, I have eggs this morning. That's how you talk? Behold, David, Levi, Lane, the Haftarah, the Shabbos. Very nicely, Shkoyach. But what does behold mean?
Moral accountability.
Moral accountability. So usually we say the word behold means surprise. Vayhi baboiker, and it was in the morning. Vihine leya. Surprise. Usually hine is a surprise. So the question, what's the surprise over here? Remember that people? They used to have 12 kids? Well, now they're number in the millions. Surprise, look what happened to them overnight. That's the surprise, says Rav Vidal. Here I like what the Kiryas Chana says. Yud Beis Shvatim v'achshav Rava Otzumenu v'zo hine lashon haftaa. It's a surprise. Before you know it. Okay. Hava nischak malai. Hava. Come, let us deal wisely with him. Now, is Lashon Hava Lashon Yachid or Lashon Rabim? Says Rav Vidal, Hava is Lashon Yachid. It could have said Havu. Meaning, Paroi could have been talking to many advisors. But says Rav Vidal, he had three advisors. Who were they? Bilam. Yisroi. Iyov, only one of them gave the advice. So it said Lashon Yachid, Hava, because only one guy is going along with this bad plan of Paroi. However, says Rav Vidal, the Lashon of Loi implies Paroi thought he was dealing wisely to benefit himself. Loi implies, no, all of his Chachma, Loi, was for us. For us. It was to help us. Because the more he afflicted us, the more we increased. And it expedited the redemption. And it got us out early. Not only did it expedite the redemption, had he not afflicted us, it would have taken longer in Mitzrayim. And then we would have never gotten out. Paro would have been smart. He wouldn't have afflicted us so much. So we would have taken more time to be in Mitzrayim. And then we would have fallen to the Nun Shari Tuma. And we never would have gotten out. So everything Paro did was a lie. It was for our benefit. Similar to what we always say in Megillah, Heichin loy, loy heichin. Next, Vatachayena. They kept the kids alive. How? How? This is Paragala Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vatirena hamiyaldois es hoelokim, vloyas gashibel emachzaim, Vatachayena as hayiladim. Rashi says they gave them water, they gave them food. Says Rav Vidal, they kept them alive with their tefillah. That they should not have any mum. They prayed for their welfare. That was the godless of Shifra and Pua. They were literally the mothers of the Jewish people. They kept alive all of these Jewish children through their tefillahs. That's very powerful.
Yeah.
that Yocheved and Miriam were mespalach for all the Jewish children, that they should not, they should be healthy, they should not be, they should not have any mum. Okay. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayehi ki yaru hamiyaladois es ha'alakim. And it was when the midwives feared God. Huh? We already said that in Yud Zayin. Vatirena hamiyaladois es ha'alakim. So it's repetitive, superfluous. Says Rav Vidal, noisaf al hayira hakoidemes. More than the first fear. Shezu me ahava. What's the question, Josh? Two fears are not ahava. What, just, oh, we have an extra pasuk, so let's darshan it to mean ahava. What? Why is the second fear? What do you say?
I don't know, but the Rambam learns out differently from Rav Sadi Gaon that Eov should have spoken up when they were deciding to drown the Hebrew males. And he didn't. That's why the test occurred. But Rambam says that Eov was tested because he was only serving out of Yira, not out of Abba.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's a good, good point, right? We see that it's not enough to serve Hashem out of fear. You have to serve Hashem out of ahava. So where do we see the ahava in what Shifra and Pua did? Just because it says a second time Yira, a second time Yira means ahava. So you know the Rambam says there's two kinds of Yira. There's Yiras Ha'aynesh and there's Yiras Ha'raymimas. There's fear of punishment, where a person is afraid to do an Avera. They don't want to get punished in this world, they don't want to get punished in the next world. But the highest fear is what's called Yiras Ha'raymimas, where a person he's not afraid of repercussion, but he's in awe of the greatness of, which is almost identical to Avas Hashem. Rav Itzel Petterberg writes that Yiras Haroimimos is nearly identical to Avas Hashem. So it could be, I don't know for sure this is what he means, but you could say the first Yira is Yiras Ha'aynesh, and the second Yira, me, is Yiras Haroimimos. Therefore, we call it, this is Me Ahavas Hashem. By the way, Rav Miller would say, Halavai, in this generation, you should do anything out of Yiras Haroimimos. Don't fool yourself that you're doing anything out of Yiras Haroimimos. Halavai, you should do out of Yiras Ha'aynesh. Halavai, you should get up in the morning because, you know, for schar. People say, no, I don't want to serve Hashem for reward. Halavai, that should be your mode. That's the highest madriga that you could possibly aspire to in a full sense. Okay. Here's a good one. Parak Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayifen koi v'choi. Moshe turns both ways. Vayar ki einish. He saw there was no man. Question. If Moshe is going to kill them with a sword, he has to make sure there's no man there. But as Rav Vida, we know Moshe Rabbeinu was killing them with the Shema HaMafayrosh. If you're killing someone with the Shema HaMafayrosh, what does he have to be afraid of? What's he scared of? He's killing with the Shema HaMafayrosh. So therefore, Chazal say, ki ein ish. Ein ish doesn't mean he had to see that nobody was standing around. Ein ish means he looked into the future that nobody would convert and come out of these people. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu had to look to see what will the offspring be like. Because it doesn't mean he wanted to make sure nobody was looking, because what does he care if anybody's looking? It's he wanted to make sure nothing good would come out of these people. So ask Rav Vida, why? These people had previously violated Gilui Arayos. So they deserved the death penalty. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to make sure nothing good would come out of them? So he says something very interesting. They had an opt-out. What would have been if after they were over on Arayas, the person would convert? So Gerishin is Gair Kikatan Shinaladami. So they could have gotten out of the death penalty by having a conversion. And once they convert, so then retroactively, or at least from now, they're a new person. Oh, you committed Gilui Arayas. No, I convert now, I'm not the same, I'm a new guy. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew, just in case they would convert and exempt themselves, I have to make sure that nothing good's going to come out.
Ein ish didn't
not going to convert.
So Kadesh Lo Yizgarina. So what does it mean, Ke'enish? That they would not convert? That they would not convert. But Chazal Darshan, he saw Ke'enish Sheyizgayer Mibanav. So he's changing that? That so just, I mean, it sounds like just in case they would convert and make themselves pater, so Moshe Rabbeinu, so then he shouldn't kill them, regardless, even if nothing's going to come out. Maybe they'll come out. It sounds like since they could convert and exempt themselves, so then he has to make sure nothing good would come out of them. Yeah, it's not so clear exactly what he's referring to. Okay, then Rav Vidal says something which is pretty well known. Moshe Hayaraya. Moshe was a shepherd. So he brings that from shepherding the sheep, he was elevated, he went up, he was Allah to guide and be Menaheg, the Tzoin, that is Klal Yisrael. This is the meaning. Nachisa Bechazdecha Amzuga Alta. The Medrash says, B'yad Moshe V'Aroin K'nechias HaTzoin, like the shepherding of the sheep. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu shepherding the sheep was sort of grooming him to be able to shepherd Klal Yisrael. By the way, I want to bring your attention back to Perek Beis Pasuk Yud Aleph. This is a Pasha Diuk that if you learn Rashi, I was never attuned to this, but Rav Vidal points out, if you look in Perek Beis Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says, Vayhi bayomim ha'im, vayigdal Moshe, vayetze yalechav. So Rashi says that vayetze yalechav means he grew up and he grew in his sensitivity, so he went out to shoulder the pain of his brethren. But Rav Vidal points out in Perek Beis Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, he says, "Vayigdal vayetzu." Even though Moshe Rabbeinu was Allah legedula, loy shakham pa'achav. Meaning, "Vayigdal." Even though he became great and he was elevated, still vayetzu. Usually, we learn it to mean "Vayigdal." He grew up, and how was his godless evident? It was evident that he went out to feel and to shoulder and be sensitive to his brethren. But another way of looking at it is, Vayigdal, despite his godless, despite his power and position, still Vayitzei Alechav. Yeah. One more. This is a good one. Let's say a person's davening for something, and he's not answered. What should he do? Exactly. Give the man an extra bagel. Jordan. If let's say a person davens for something and he's not answered, he should daven again. Imra ra adam shespal v'loy ne'ene yachser v'yispal shenemar kavei el Hashem chazak v'yamitz libecha v'kavei el Hashem. Some of Farshim learn, I think the Chachmas Manoyach, if you see that you're silent Shemana Esrei is not being answered, it's because you're not paying attention to the Chazoras Hashatz. Im ra'isa adam shehispalel v'lo yene yachzor v'yispalel, it means you're probably learning during Chazoras Hashatz, which you're not allowed to do. People use Chazoras Hashatz to learn, to daven, to say Tehillim. None of those things are permitted. If you learn during Chazoras Hashatz, it's a mitzah haba ba'aveira. If you ma'aver sedra, Reb Chaim says you might have to do it again. So if you see your tefillos are not being niskabel, yachzor v'yispalel means pay attention during Chazor Sashatz. But Pashup Shada means daven again. You're not always answered the first time. Sometimes you have to keep on davening. Sometimes you keep on davening. The stipler brings down, sometimes the tefillah is answered immediately, sometimes after a year, sometimes after many, many years. But often it's the conglomerate of tefillah which is answered. So if you look in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Zayin. The Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem, Ra'oi Ra'isi es Oni Ami Hashem B'Mitzrayim, Ve'es Tzakosam Shamati. Then Pasuk Tes, Ve'ata Hine Tzakas B'nei Yisrael Bo Eilai. What do you mean? Hashem already said in Pasuk Zayin that he heard the Tzaka of Klal Yisrael. What's the repetition? Hine Tzakas B'nei Yisrael Bo. We already heard that. We know that already. So Rav Vidal says in one of his Pshatim, Oy yermois al hishanois hatfila pa'amim shalois kibaze tishma hatfila. The Stipler writes that repeating the same tefillah is begeder having extra kavana. I mean, it's similar. The same way one would say that having extra kavana by davening is more potent, repeating the tefillah, the Stipler says, is analogous to that. In other words, the same tefillah again and again and again and again is equally potent. So that, says Rav Vidal, is merumas in the fact that Pasuk Zayin says that Sakasim Shamati, and then Pasuk Tes repeats again, Hine Tzaakas B'nei Yisrael Bo Eli. Maybe you could say, the second time it says Hine, Hine is a surprise. I mean, it's a surprise. You would think, okay, if the first tefillah wasn't Niskabel, what? If I say it again, it will be Niskabel. Hine! Yeah! Surprise! All you did is you did it, you davened again. And this time, it broke the ice. V'ata, and now, hinei tzakas m'nei yisrael bo elai. Anyway, Rav Chanani mer kasha emar, rotzak, hosh baruch hu zakas yisrael, lefika achir b'lam tar mitzvah shenemar, adiner chafetz v'an tzikai, yagdil tar v'yadir.
You've just experienced another Torah class, brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.